All right, and once you're looking good, you should come out and see us. And where's the first place that you can see us this season? It's going to be at GQ's Craft House on October 26th. Why? Because Alf decided, he's a masochist, he decided that our first watch party of the season, our first Miami Heat watch party, should be a road game against the best in the conference, Bucks, because we need to extend our record to 0-12 on watch parties. So maybe it'll happen, maybe it won't. Well, it probably will happen. We'll probably be 0-12. But anyway, you can drink great beer. We'll be at GQ's Craft House. That's at 4457 North University Drive in Lauderhill. So we're going up to north, kind of northwest Broward a little bit. Going to see some of our people up there. We will have watch parties a little bit further south later in the season. We're going to do this one a little bit up north. We'll be there starting at about 5 o'clock. So this is the first ever 5-on-the-floor watch party. We got a clean slate. We're 0-0. Here's the big thing about it. Tons of free food, and we're going to have some t-shirt giveaways, and obviously they got great craft beer. So it's Saturday, October 26th at 5 o'clock. Saturday, October 26th at 5 o'clock. And when the Heat lose, it's Alf's fault.
Welcome to 5 on the Floor, a Miami Heat and NBA podcast from Ethan Skolnick with Alban Sidney, a.k.a. Alf954. Brought to you by the 5 Reasons Sports Network.
You know, we love these stories. You really do. Guys that basically take it, they make you watch them, they work for it, and then... they end up pushing you to make, bigger decisions.
All right, everybody. Welcome into 5 on the Floor. I am your host for this evening, Alphonse Sidney, a.k.a. Alf954. Ethan Skolnick is out of town, but me and Tropical Blanket, a.k.a. Alex Toledo. I always do that shit backwards.
Hey, why are you doing
backwards? Alex Toledo, a.k.a. Tropical Blanket, have just come back from tonight's preseason game against the Houston Rockets, a game that the Houston Rockets played like it was Game 7 of the Western Conference Finals, except they actually won this one. They played all their guys. They played James Harden deep into the fourth quarter. Russell Westbrook got hurt. But besides that, it was a fun game, exciting game. Kendrick Nunn dropped 40. Was it just a straight 40, Alex?
Yep, straight 40.
A clean 40 burger. Which is kind of wild, and we're going to get into that and what it kind of means for the season and for the roster, and what does that really do to the bench rotation. And we also have the man Lefty Leif Sylvander, or Greg Sylvander, whatever. I'm getting everybody's name wrong. Lefty Leif, say what's up to the people.
What's up?
So Lefty Leif is joining us all the way from South Carolina. It's funny, I go to South Carolina like twice a year, and I'm always like, Leif, can we meet up? And no matter where I am in South Carolina, he's 3 hours away.
This is true.
And I'm telling you, I think he's doing it on purpose.
Dog, I'm by the coast.
Hey, I'm in Rock Hill. Oh, that's 3 hours away. I'm in Charleston. That's 3 hours away.
Nah, you ain't never said that.
I'm next door. I'm 3 hours away. And somehow Nikias is always 3 hours away from me as well, which is wild. I didn't know South Carolina was that big. But anyway, on to the game, right? So starting off, you had a starting lineup that was new, right? I don't think we've ever seen these five together. It was Justice Winslow, Kendrick Nunn, Bam Adebayo, Myers Leonard, and Duncan Robinson. And Alice, I'll go to you first. That lineup did not perform very well. I don't think we're going to see that lineup at all this season. So what could you really take away from the starters tonight?
Yeah, a lot would have to go wrong for us to see this lineup again. But no, you're right. Duncan Robinson struggled. He went 1-of-7. That was the main reason, that he's out there. It's to space the floor for everybody else there. He wasn't doing his job on that part. He was also kind of getting roasted too on defense. You know, he's a little bit stronger than he was last season, so he's able to hold up a little bit better than like Tyler Hero per se. But yeah, they struggled in those first few minutes that they were out there together.
And then what we've been talking about a lot is as soon as that second unit came in, when Goran Dragic came in, Derek Jones Jr., and they started facing the Houston Rockets second unit, what had happened? They came back and Hero came in and Hero hit a couple shots. But
I mean, Goran was lighting up.
Goran was going crazy. Kelly was hitting shots, and Kelly Olynyk came off the bench. We're going to talk a little bit more about Kelly Olynyk as well. So I kind of, with this episode, I want to talk about now the preseason's done. I think Wednesday is the first game of the regular season. What is this rotation going to look like, right? So, and before we get into that, Leif, you said you had some, we just talked about Duncan Robinson getting cooked a little bit. You saw something tonight from Tyler Hero that might be concerning going forward and might actually affect the rotation.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that it will impact the rotation necessarily. It was just, it was evident to me in the first quarter that there was a couple possessions where Eric Gordon and Russell Westbrook, granted, both of those dudes are very capable offensive players, that they kind of had Hero out on an island on the wing, and they were able to go right by him, like literally, and get directly to the rim. And I just thought it was interesting to see that a little bit when you have starters playing prominent roles in games and it's not against second string or third string guys. And I would anticipate that other teams are probably going to test Hero too. And I just think that that's something that we have to watch, because it's something that obviously could hurt his ability to be effective in certain ways. But luckily, I kind of think that the offense that he brings will offset that.
Well, what I will say about that is Jimmy Butler wasn't in the starting lineup, right? So if you have Justice and Jimmy on the perimeter, they could take the Harden and Russell Westbrook, or they can take the Harden and Eric Gordon assignments. So you're not going to face that many teams that have a third wing that can give Tyler Hero that kind of problem. Like,
and Houston is a team that goes to that offensive strategy a lot, where they'll look out for the mismatch. They'll go and they'll run the pick and roll, and they'll have somebody switch on to Harden or Westbrook or Eric Gordon. And frankly, all three of those guys are way too big for Hero to really do anything on. You know, he's decent at like getting to his spots on defense. And,
he had some nice defensive moments tonight. But the problem is, if he's struggling against a guy, it's not like you can switch Duncan Robinson on him to shut him down. So that was part of the problem with the starting lineup tonight. That was part of why it was kind of tough to judge them. But Bam had a really nice game. Bam put up what were the numbers Bam put up?
13, about 11 rebounds and 6 assists.
6 for 6 from the field.
Yep.
Alex called it an almost triple-double. I was like, that's a reach. You can't be 4 assists away from
I think
a
I might have said that for Justice as well. I don't remember.
That might have been with turnovers.
No, just kidding. That definitely wasn't Justice.
Justice had an uneven performance tonight, but the defense was pretty good until the second half when the Rockets blew it open. So let's get away from this game. After the break, we will talk more about this game, and we will talk more about Kendrick Nunn. But what we can take from this game, and I guess what we can look at going forward.
I have a take about that. Do not play Duncan Robinson and Myers Leonard together in a starting lineup ever again.
And that's not going to happen. I don't think that'll ever happen again. There was a lot of Duncan Robinson in the starting lineup in preseason. I'm not sure where that came from. I guess so, but filling for what if you don't have an established starting rotation?
Well, I guess because they brought back Olynyk so late, I guess they're just kind of gradually integrating him off the bench. Because I mean, they've done that before, but that's what I thought.
Doesn't he come in for Myers Leonard?
Yeah, but the thing is, at one point, there wasn't a game where like they started Duncan but not Myers or something like that. Like they always had at least one shooter.
No, Myers has started every game. So let's start there, right? And The starting lineup. Point guard, I think we all agree it should be Justice Winslow. Leif, you're there with us on that?
Absolutely.
Shooting guard. To me, you cannot deny Tyler Hero the shooting guard position. The starting two guard position. How could you justify anybody else in that role right now?
I think he's absolutely earned it. It's always interesting seeing if Spo will actually go with a rookie to kick off a season, especially with a team that is trying to win. But he's earned it. He's played well enough to get it. So, I mean, I would expect that would be the guy at the two.
Now, here's my thing about the starting two guard position. Did Deion Waiters start a single game this preseason as shooting guard?
Nope.
So how can you go into the game to game one of the regular season with Deion Waiters as your shooting guard?
Because no, he wants to be it.
Yeah, in his own mind, I think that he would be ready to do that, but it would be more likely Jimmy would slide to the two and they would adjust accordingly.
Slide to the two, and then you will start Duncan Robinson, Derrick Jones Jr. Derrick Jones Jr. hasn't started a single game either.
Yeah, no, he's a bench, like, spark plug kind of guy. So, I mean, this is an interesting discussion because maybe it's kind of a question of, do you need the spacing or are you really trying to get your best five on the floor? I think I know Alf Myers-Leonard is your boy, and I do. I love everything that he's done this preseason. But I think eventually Olynyk will probably
take over for him in the starting
lineup. So you'll have Olynyk and Bam. And then you feel like Jimmy and Justice are shoo-ins, but it's that fifth guy that it's hard for me to peg.
I see. I don't think it's hard because if you, the shooting guard, the people that have, the guys who started as shooting guard this season are Jimmy Butler. He's not going to play shooting guard, right? Because we don't have anyone else on this team that can start a small forward. Who else would start a small forward if Jimmy slides to the two? So we got to take him out, right? Tyler Hero has started at the two-guard position. Looked great playing next to Justice Winslow. Playing next to Justice Winslow, that's when he scored the 14 points.
Yep.
The first 14 points, right?
And that was the same thing that happened with Duncan Robinson going off last night, you know, playing alongside Justice, Jimmy, and Bam. He went, didn't he go 5 of 10 and like 4 for 8 from 3 against Orlando?
Okay, so Tyler... Wait.
Maybe we're totally overthinking this. Jimmy loves Tyler Hero, so it's going to be Tyler Hero.
I'm telling you, I don't think there's any other person. There's nobody else you could slide in there. Nobody else has even started that in the two-guard position that you can make a good case that would start first game of the regular season.
Kendrick Nunn.
Kendrick Nunn started at two-guard today. You think he's starting Kendrick Nunn? If he's not going to start Tyler Hero, you think Spo is going to start Kendrick Nunn?
I kind of want him to now. Okay. I really hope this happens.
Gerald Green had a great preseason one time.
All right.
I don't know. 40 is a big number. I mean, if you look back, there's not been very many guys that have scored 40 in the preseason. This means something, man.
Okay, sure. It does.
Talked about him yet?
No. I want to talk about him in the second half. Okay. And I'm going to get to that eventually, right? And then, okay, so if it's not Tyler Hero, it's probably going to be Deion Waiters, right? Deion Waiters did not come into this basketball game until 7 minutes left in the second quarter tonight. Like, what does that say? It's not that he wasn't available. He played 10 minutes the entire night.
No, and he's been away from the team, like recently, for personal reasons, whatever that means. I saw something on IG where he was posting the Jay-Z song that I happen to love, but the title of it is Politics as Usual. So I don't know what that is alluding to.
Yeah, come on, say it so right.
I don't know. I feel like
get your theory.
Say it right. Politics as Usual.
What's up?
You have to say it the way Jay-Z says it. Politics as
Usual. Politics as Usual.
As Usual. But anyway, what's more important is he played last night, right? How many minutes did he play Thursday night?
Not sure.
He played more than 10.
Oh yeah, no doubt. He was just part of the rotation. He was their second guard off the bench.
He throws this Jay-Z song title on Instagram, and then tonight he comes in with 7 minutes left in the second quarter.
Could it just be some regular load management? Because Goran only played 16 minutes.
Yeah, but you don't load manage guys and start them late. You load manage guys by bringing them in when they normally come in.
So and you're just talking about going forward, whether his case as going forward as a starter.
Yeah, there's no, to me.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to be a starter.
If you read all the tea leaves, there's no way Deion Waiters is a starter, right? So to me, it's Justice Winslow, Tyler Hero, Jimmy Butler. Until Kelly is 100% and they're confident, I think Myers-Leonard plays the four and then Bam plays the five.
Especially now that we've seen how effective Goran can be as the sixth man.
It's not fair. It's a cheat code when he comes in against other second units.
It's so perfect.
It really is. It's a Dwayne Wade role of last year, but probably a little bit more efficient.
Yeah, and the thing is like when he first got here, I was talking about this with you at the game. He was doing these things where he was just driving to the rim every other play. He was, he would elbow out the big man and get in the score. He doesn't really do it anymore. He doesn't even do the post stuff where he gets in and does all those little fakes. He's mostly a perimeter scorer now. And that's way harder to do if you're starting against starting caliber point guards that are a lot faster, more athletic than you. He's playing against backup point guards. He can get to that pull-up three that he had in the game, you know, all these other moves where he's just looking comfy as hell because he doesn't have to worry so much about the overwhelming athleticism and skill.
Even today, Spo rolled out a four-guard lineup.
Oh, I think we're going to see that for sure. Because I think that's just because, you know, JJ's still out. And
well, not even that. The versatility of Justice lets you do that. It was Justice, Goron.
And KZ was out, too.
Yeah, you had Justice, Goron, Nunn, and who else? Justice, Goron, Nunn, and Hero were on the floor at the same time with Kelly. And at first I hated it, but then they actually went on a huge run. I know he'll probably use that sparingly. So
I wonder if Kelly's run with Dragic there is going to make Spo think twice about maybe just keeping Kelly off the bench to start the season just because of how well that second unit was.
To me, there's two reasons that Kelly would come off the bench to start the season. One, because they don't feel like he's ready for the minutes because he's had so much time off. And two, because of the way Myers Leonard is rebounding right now. You cannot deny the fact that his Myers rebounding is crucial.
Yeah, his four rebounds tonight really propelled them to.
Listen,
Alf's point is well taken.
No, you're right.
Come on.
Those two combinations make it that where they have the luxury of easing KO back into the lineup. Sure. I just think that ultimately the analytics point to those two guys working so well, Bam and KO.
Yeah, Bam and
that,
KO.
That's how that'll shake out.
And Goron and Myers work really well together.
Yeah.
So
Kelly just helps get other guys going. And Kelly, once again, let's just to get this out of the way. The two games that he's played, he's come out and showed that he is definitively a better player than Myers Leonard, I think, on both ends, because he's out there making plays. You know, he had that little and one play. Like, Myers Leonard could only wish of doing things off the ball like that. Myers Leonard has been, you know, I got to give him credit. He's hitting threes. He's doing stuff on the inside, too, dunking on Vucevic, which Heat Twitter loves him for. But Leonard is doing stuff, you know, he knows exactly where to be on defense.
Also,
he's playing
plays
a role
for other people. He's hitting threes super comfortably, by the way.
And tonight was a really bad matchup for Myers.
Hell yeah. Again, they're always seeking out switches, and you put Duncan Robinson and Myers Leonard on this. Like, there's a reason Harden had, like, whatever he had, 44. It was 44.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to take a lot from tonight's game. Overall from the preseason, what I can say is Myers Leonard is a good, he can slide into the Kelly role for now, but I think eventually you're right. The Kelly and Bam numbers are too overwhelming to ignore. Those guys need to start together. All right, we're going to take a quick break here, and when we come back, now that we've kind of come to an agreement on what the starting lineup is, we're going to start talking about the bench rotation and what Kendrick Nunn's 40-burger tonight might mean for Dion Waiters. We'll be right back.
Ethan Skolnick here for the 5 on the Floor podcast on the 5 Reasons Sports Network. Before we get to today's episode, want to make sure that if you're going to bet this weekend, you do it over at betdsi.com. That's betdsi.com. Use the promo code 5101. That's FIVE 101. You'll get a bonus there right at the very start, something to play with as you go forward. And of course, you can bet the games as they're happening, before they're happening, and also you can bet the futures. You can still get in on the Miami Heat. They're at 43. Money's not quite as great on that as it was a few weeks ago when I told you to bet the over, but you still can do it. It's at 43 right now. If you feel good about the Heat's chances to get into the high 40s as we do, that's a good place to go. Obviously, you can bet the Panther games, and of course, you've got the Hurricanes coming up against Georgia Tech. I believe they're a 20-point favorite. And of course, the Miami Dolphins announced that Ryan Fitzpatrick is their starter again up in Buffalo. So if you believe in Fitzmagic, take the Dolphins. They actually covered last week. So go to betdsi.com. That's betdsi.com. Promo code 5101.
All right, and we're back. We are back with Tropical Blanket, a.k.a. Alex Toledo. I did that on purpose this time. And Lefty Leif of Miami Heat Beat and 5 Reasons Sports. So we've come to a consensus on what the starting lineup is going to be, right? I think we all think, whether it's Myers or Kelly Olynyk, eventually it'll be Kelly Olynyk, and we feel like Hero should be in that shooting guard role. Dragic is...
Myers, by the way, only played 12 minutes. I'm just noticing that right now. So I guess it was just a theme of load management tonight for certain players.
This game is a throwaway game, right? I don't take a lot from what happened tonight. I'm a little concerned with Justice's uneven play, but then, you know, last night he throws up 12 assists. It's the second night of a back-to-back. It's preseason. He probably doesn't even really care. So I don't know what to do with
three tonight. Of five.
He was 3 of 5. He was efficient. And then, like, when it was time, when he was playing out there with Dragic and you got Duncan Robinson off the floor, like...
I mean, 2 assists and 5 turnovers is not ideal.
Yeah, the 5 turnovers was rough. But anyway, I throw this game away. So now we're going to start talking about the bench rotation, because I've said over and over and over again this offseason that this second unit has the potential to be the best or one of the best second units in the league, and that's going to be led by Goran Dragic. So we've already established that we think Justice Winslow is a starter. Goran Dragic is your first guy off the bench. Now, tonight, I think DJJ has been the second guy off the bench a lot, but I've always thought that the core of that second unit was going to be Goran Dragic and Deion Waiters. Tonight, with Deion Waiters playing 10 minutes, and it didn't look like a load management role. It really didn't. And Kendrick Nunn dropping 40. Leif, do you see a scenario where Kendrick Nunn is going to be taking major minutes away from Deion Waiters?
It's funny. I do, but not necessarily because of positions or because Kendrick Nunn scored 40 tonight or anything like that. I just think there's something that don't quite smell right about the Deion Waiters situation. And I don't know exactly what that is, but there's like a similar vibe to the JJ situation, because like you got a guy that needs to get in shape, but you're not playing him, which will enable him to get in shape. So like there's some contradictory kind of back and forth there. And then also Deion, if you're gearing him up for a 6-man microwave scorer role, for him to only get 10 minutes tonight, we know that he has expressed that he wants to start. So, and then obviously with the stuff we've already talked about that's been on social media, there's just something weird there that, at least from my perspective, Kendrick Nunn, this is the beauty of this particular team. Kendrick Nunn's emergence, as well as Goran Dragic being such a key piece off the bench and being able to score the way that he's able to and actually be a starting point guard if we need him to, it's like such a luxury to have, because now, like, when Justice Winslow has some uneven scoring nights, you have Dragic. Nunn can step in and play. And I don't think positions matter with these guys. I think that you're going to be able to play them together. You're going to be able to, you know, like, have Nunn and Dragic on the court at the same time, even maybe, you know, depending on who we're up against. So I do see him having a role. How big of a role? It's unclear initially when the season starts. But that's where the trading market's going to get interesting, because you're going to have an expiring in Dragic, or if Waiters finds a new home, maybe a place like Detroit, then all of a sudden you open up minutes for Kendrick.
Stop being coy. Stop being coy with the Detroit thing. You know a little
something. Amen. I've heard whispers of Detroit being a place Deion may end up, but, you know, I don't want to be too much of a rumor monger.
Okay, so we just got a Leif saucy nugget. Say it again. Where do you think that where have you heard Deion might end up?
All I've heard is that Detroit is a possible destination for Deion Waiters in the event that they find a new home for him. I've heard Langston Galloway's name brought up in terms of like one player that could come back in a deal like that.
I know there's could a shape pick in there.
And and there would be another player involved as well. And I'm kind of just piecing this together by connecting dots and adding up salaries. But it would also enable the Heat to get a little further under that hard cap. So it's just something to think about. That's all I'll say.
Leif with the coy nugget. Alex, what do you think when it comes to Kendrick Nunn's coming out party? And like, let's not act like tonight's the only night that Kendrick Nunn has shown us something. Kendrick Nunn might have been the best player in summer league on the Heat.
Oh yeah, he was, and he got the second team. He got the all summer league second team.
Yeah, I know that. I know people think that's, you know, sacrilegious to say that it wasn't Tyler Hero. Kendrick, but also you got to remember Kendrick Nunn is older. He's a more seasoned player.
Yeah, and he was also a first round talent before. Some stuff happened with them.
Some stuff happened. We're not going to get into all that because that's none of our damn business. But Kendrick Nunn, his emergence over the course of Summer League and the preseason, do you think that has an impact on how they feel about Deion Waiters or just Deion Waiters' minutes or whatever? Is he a main part of a 9-10 man rotation, or is he going to be the 11th, 12th man and Deion Waiters is going to settle right back into his role?
See, so I think it's going to start that way. I think there's, like, it would be shocking to me if Spo just came out gunning with Kendrick Nunn getting more playing time than Deion Waiters. But I wouldn't be surprised if Spo just looks at him as, you know, we got options. The same way that he looks at Duncan Robinson as, like, if we need shooting, we got Duncan Robinson we could throw in. Or even, you know, Devon Reed, who was just hitting every pull-up three in the book, apparently. But
I will say something about Devon Reed. Devon Reed's probably going to be on a two-way contract. If they keep Devon Reed, because they're going to have two, right?
Yeah.
So,
and they've already announced – well, they haven't announced, but it's been reported that Silva was offered a two-way contract tonight directly after the game.
Oh, wow.
I wouldn't be surprised at all. He reminds them and the fans so much of UD, right?
Just their frame is almost identical. He's got a couple inches on him.
Yeah, and I would be super surprised if Chris Silva, if that report is wrong. And then the other guy that impressed the most is Devon Reed, but the Heat have a tendency to throw that curveball. And correct me if I'm wrong, anybody on a two-way contract can only spend 45 days with the main squad, right?
Yep, they're going to have to get sent back to Sioux Falls. But that's what they've been doing, clearly, is just kind of stocking up their, you know, their farm system in Sioux Falls by – you know, they exchanged those two players. I guess they just, you know, decided that they'd rather go after those guys for their Sioux Falls team. They're going to stick, they're going to stick KZ there. They're going to stick Devon Reed there, Chris Silva. But
So Alex, you think that Kendrick Nunn is not going to immediately take those minutes from Deion, but you think at some point it's going to be the Kendrick Nunn show off the bench?
Yes, but also it's like, all right, let's say that we go into game one of the regular season with the starting lineup that everybody wants to see, which is, you know, Justice at the point, Hero at the two, Jimmy at the three, and then one of Kelly or Myers at the four and Bam at the five, right? So Spo could go with Kendrick Nunn over Duncan Robinson in the bench if he wants to, because that's where the minutes are, right? It's like, I think it's going to depend on the matchup. I think his thing is, like, there's so many – this team is so deep that he's got guys he can pluck for whatever matchup is necessary.
To me, it's a nine-man rotation.
Hasn't he been playing 10 this whole preseason?
Yeah, but it's the preseason. You bring in guys that probably wouldn't sniff the floor in the regular season. And we talked about our starting – go ahead.
He said something yesterday before the Magic game that the 10 guys I'm throwing out today are the 10 guys I want to look at. And Duncan was a part of that.
Yeah. I mean, I think to start the season that they may go 10 deep because it's a long season. But, you know, Riley's mantra has always been play nine, trust seven, or play nine, trust six, something like that.
Both done similar.
So I think, you know, inevitably as the season unfolds and they start to get into playoff positioning, and obviously there's going to be injuries that have implications on rotations and playing time, I think they'll land on nine, and it'll be interesting to see what those nine are. So I agree with Alf that it is a nine-man rotation eventually, but starting out an 82-game season, especially with KO still, you know, kind of getting back in the swing of things, I think a 10-man start will probably be the way they go.
But here's my thing. If you include Duncan Robinson in a 10-man rotation, what happens to James Johnson? Is KZ Akpala even in the immediate plans, or is going to Sioux Falls?
No, not at all.
Clearly not.
I think he's going to spend a lot of time in Sioux Falls, personally.
Yeah.
That, and also just being in practice around all the veterans and, like, literally letting him get reps, defending Jimmy day after day. That's the kind of thing. They like to have these guys around the team and around, you know, obviously the culture. I think that that's going to be kind of the path for KZ this season. Duncan Robinson's going to get minutes at times. So, you know, I think he's definitely a guy that will see the floor more than KZ will.
Would you say that Kendrick Nunn is going to be in ahead of Duncan Robinson, or the other way around? to start off?
You already nailed it. It's all about matchups. If they are midway through the second quarter and they have 22 points and they can't hit the broadside of a barn, they're going to throw Duncan Robinson in the game to try to either ignite the offense or to create space for guys to make plays. If they're playing a team that all of a sudden has like four guards out on the court, which there are plenty of NBA teams that try to do that kind of stuff, then you're going to see them have the opportunity to bring in none. I think if they need like a ball hawking guard, if there's like a particular matchup where they have a guy who's giving them a lot of trouble and they want a guy to press full court and turn a guy multiple times as he's bringing the ball up, that's a Kendrick Nunn task. You know, that's not a Duncan Robinson task. Well, so there'll be some of that too.
You know what's funny about it? And here's one of my eye test things that hopefully when Christian Hernandez or Nekias Duncan looks it up, it's actually correct. I feel like Kendrick Nunn has been better from three than Duncan Robinson has. So when you talk about spacing, it's if you want spacing, is Kendrick Nunn not doing the same things that Duncan Robinson
pull up
does
threes regularly? It's insane what he's doing right
off
now.
Off the dribble, like stuff that Duncan Robinson can't necessarily do. And one of the things that I've noticed that when Duncan Robinson starts and the team gets off to a slow start, they don't guard Duncan Robinson. They dare him to start making some shots. So I don't know. So that's why even matchups matter, but if you want spacing, I'm not even sure that Duncan Robinson provides more spacing than Kendrick Nunn does.
Kendrick Nunn is 11 for 23 from three in the preseason.
Jeez, are you wow. Serious? And what's Duncan Robinson? Because Duncan Robinson had like an 0 for 8.
Now you're forcing me to try to do math very quickly.
What? All right. This is
Kendrick Nunn is shooting significantly better, slightly less volume. I won't go into the exact numbers, but Kendrick Nunn is shooting a better percentage.
So here's what I'm saying. Matchups be damned. If you need spacing, Kendrick Nunn is a better floor spacer than Duncan Robinson is right now. Now, I know they probably see them both in practice, and who has a better chance of hitting those shots?
He is taking twice as many as Kendrick Nunn is.
Well,
this season.
And didn't Spo say Duncan Robinson is one of the best shooters in the world? So, yeah.
Spo loves Duncan Robinson, man.
So I feel like they're going to give him a shot to find his way from a shooting perspective, kind of similar to how you stick with a Mike Miller or you stick with a James Jones because you know eventually they're going to start hitting him. He may not have that long of a leash.
All right, Leif, your BS. There was not a long leash on either. Not Mike Miller had a longer leash. James Jones had a 2 3-point miss leash. And he was out. Like he missed 2 3-pointers, and he come back to the bench.
Besides the games that Bosch was out and stuff like that.
Yeah, but I'm telling when the whole squad was healthy, James Jones had 2 3-pointers to miss, and you're gone. You got to hit one of the first two. And what I see out of Duncan Robinson, and I'm not besmirching the guy, I actually like him because I feel like he's a much bigger body than we give him credit for. It feels like he does not hit threes until we're up 20. Like the game's out of hand, and all of a sudden Duncan Robinson is like, "Yeah, time to pile on." He's
shooting 28% from three.
28%, and honestly, Justice is what, 0% right now.
Yep.
Well, and another big thing about all this is that, and the Orlando game was a really interesting thing to watch with Jimmy specifically, because that's an element of the preseason that, although there's been a lot to celebrate and feel excited about, and obviously they've played well and they've won, like what we haven't seen is what we expect, right? Jimmy is going to be a 25-6-6 kind of nightly guy. You know, that's just how that's going to shake out. So like when that is happening every single night, I think it also will change the dynamic of who is most valuable or gets comfortable behind the arc and starts to hit shots, you know, like, so I think that there's going to be some of that, that still those kinks have to be worked out as the season starts.
And honestly, Justice has two seasons of shooting 38% from three. A lot of people are down on Justice right now. Like everyone just needs to calm down. Like, let's take the larger sample size and not go crazy over three preseason games.
I do think it's a worthwhile conversation to have about how important Justice and Jimmy working well together on a consistent basis is to the ceiling of the team. Because that was something I was not worried about, but it was in the back of my head, right? Where Justice, his only time as a point guard, he's had this uneven experience as a pro where he's played all five positions, mostly four, but he has this uneven experience where he came up last year as a point guard after Goran got hurt, and he was the point guard of a team that didn't have any other great scoring options. Now he has to be the point guard of a team that has Jimmy Butler. And again, we haven't seen him, besides the Orlando game, take control yet. So I do think it is a conversation worth having, because we haven't really seen it yet, their dynamic is when they're not in transition, when they're in half court.
To me, I will, you can answer this question next, Leif. I don't think Justice's scoring is important. Like, I think if he scores 12 a game this year, that's fine. But he has to have 12 a game with 7.5 assists and 6 rebounds.
Absolutely. Maybe. Agree. I think that it isn't necessarily that he scores a ton of points. It's that he has to consistently be able to keep defenses honest. So, like, it's more about the percentages, and it's more about efficiency. The percentages related to efficiency. Good volume. Like, obviously, like, he can't – if he's shooting 50% but he's taking 3 shots, that's not working. And I know he's going to shoot more than that. But, like, so if he's keeping defenses honest, if he's getting 11-7-6 or something like that, like, that's awesome.
I'm super happy with that, right? Like –
Point Draymond, basically, right? He's like a point guard version of what Draymond does.
Because,
exactly.
And what you've seen with him and Jimmy on the floor together, and I honestly, I just think they haven't given a shit about the first quarter in a lot of these games. When they decided, oh, shit, let's play some ball, him and Jimmy on the perimeter, I think the last podcast, I said it, at the first quarter, they have a 115 defensive rating, which is trash. The second and third quarter, it drops to 75 defensive rating with Jimmy and Justice on the floor. That, to me, is the most impactful thing. Like, 75 defensive rating with those two on the floor?
It probably feels like both of those numbers are kind of just preseason noise. But, again, when you balance those numbers out, that's still a good defensive rating. They've been in the top 5 defensive rating, I think, this whole time.
I mean, there's already been reports that they have been heard – barking at each other about who gets to take the toughest defensive assignment night over night, and Justice that is Jimmy. Miami Heat basketball. Yes, Justice and Jimmy. Oh, so that's certainly Miami Heat basketball right
there's
there.
A lot of reports about Jimmy and Justice's relationship and Jimmy and Hero's relationship. And when we talk about chemistry and you put those guys together, I love the way Justice and Hero play together.
Oh, yeah.
I love it. Like,
very natural.
I'm telling you, because
especially when you throw Kelly in there, that we haven't seen that lineup yet. Kelly is going to make that lineup flow even more. I think that they're going to be a good offense once they get that lineup together with Harold and Olynyk playing alongside Jimmy Justice and Bam.
I mean, overall, there's a lot to be excited about this season, right? And I just listen.
It's just about putting it all together, right? Figuring out what's the formula that works the best.
As a current Heat Twitter president, I guess I'm a dictator at this point.
Yeah,
because we haven't had an election in about 6 years. I just want everybody to stop pitting one of the young guys against another, or one player against another, or trashing Justice because he hasn't hit a three, but he's doing 1,000 other things really well, or worried about Jimmy's offensive output, or saying Kendrick Nunn over Deion.
Is this like your State of the Union?
Yeah, this is my, I think it's like my State of the Union. I want to write it out this year. I usually write it out every year, like every other year. But I just want everyone to just calm down, because I think as a overall unit, like, these guys are going to be fine. Like, I'm looking at you, Slim, right now, worried about Bam. Slim Skinny McGee is
6
here.
Of 6 tonight. Offensive monster.
He's super worried.
Yo, Jimmy called Bam the heart of the team.
And I sent that right to Slim as soon as he said that.
And UD called them a while back the guy to keep forward the Heat culture. He said something like that.
So my thing,
call them the next lifer.
I think a lot of the times what you're gonna see 6 guys in double digits, right? You're gonna see guys who one night score 19, the next night
exactly
score
6
7.
Tonight.
There's 6 guys in double digits, right?
Exactly. And
so,
I
think that's what
points.
You're gonna see a lot of going forward. Guys are gonna do what they have to do that night to win. And I don't think a single guy on this team cares about his points per game. I don't think there might be one guy or or a couple guys, but I don't think the points per game matter. I don't think minutes per game matter. I don't think rebound. I don't think any of that. Whatever it takes to win, I think that's what you're going to see out of this team. So I think we're at our time limit, man. We're 30, 40 minutes. Ethan likes 20-minute podcasts. I think we're way over 20 minutes. Where are we at? 40? Oh, shit. All right, guys. It's been fun. I don't know if you guys have if Leif has a State of the Union. Leif does a State of the Union every year, doesn't he?
Yeah, but it's usually related to free agency heading into the offseason. But maybe I'll cook something up, get a thread going for before the first regular season game.
All right, guys. So we're going to have a podcast on Monday with Eric Reed, the voice of the Miami Heat. Ethan told me I'm not even allowed to be on that episode because he's embarrassed of me. I'm dead at. He didn't say he's embarrassed me. Ethan said it might be better if I do it myself because of the relationship, which is basically him saying, "Alf, I'm embarrassed of you. I don't want you on the episode with Eric Reed of the Miami Heat." But it's a great kickoff episode. You guys are gonna love it. We have the first regular season game on Monday. All three of us, me, Ethan, and Alex, will all be out there. Did I say Wednesday?
You said Monday.
Wednesday is the first regular season game. All three of us will be out there that night. You'll get a podcast after the game. We'll probably do a 305 live before the game. So there's going to be a ton of content next week. And most importantly, next Saturday, October 26th, I think it's the 26th. Yes, October 26th at GQ's Craft House in Lauderhill. You heard the ad at the top of the episode. We are going to be having a watch party for the first road game of the season. Yes, I chose a game against the Milwaukee Bucks, and I know our record in watch parties is pretty bad. I think we're 0-11 at this point.
Also 0-1 against the Milwaukee Bucks. I remember we had one last year, and we got absolutely murked by them.
But now listen, it is smarter to do a game that you had a good chance of losing anyway, or like last season... Because if you're going to lose with five reasons. Because last season, we had a game.
Win with five reasons. How about counterpoint? Listen, with five reasons.
We know where they're not going to win. So last season, we had a game against the Magic, and Josh Richardson threw up on himself four times at the end of the game.
The team that eventually overtook the Heat as a playoff team.
And it was our first watch party of the season. We were at Duffy's in North Miami Beach. We had like 100 people out there. We were by the pool. Beautiful night. And I didn't enjoy a second of it because I got drunk and I was super upset screaming about Josh Richardson and how we couldn't give him up for Jimmy Butler. Anyway.
Jimmy don't care about no watch party record.
Jimmy, listen, if this team is legit, we will know if they can beat the Five Reasons Curse. If this team beats the Five Reasons Curse, you might as well book your tickets for the finals.
Pots and pans.
Pots and pans on Bird Road. We're going nuts. All right, guys. It's been a fun episode. We'll talk to you on Monday. This is Al for Five Reasons Sports, Five on the Floor, and we out.